This is Reuven Levy. We're learning the book Gan HaShalom, The Garden of Peace by Rav Shalom Arush. We're in chapter 4. We're learning that this book was written for men. What does that mean? It was written for men who are real men, not men who are actually very much female. Because a man who has not yet learned how to be a real man, and it's not straightforward, but a man who's not yet learned how to be a real man cannot give his wife what he needs to give her. Because instead of giving, he's still looking to take, still looking to receive. A man who wants to receive is not giving to his wife what she needs, because the wife needs to receive from the husband. That's the woman's role. And if he's taking, he can't be giving. While I'm taking, I can't be giving. So I lose out because I'm not giving my wife what she needs. Instead, I'm trying to take. And also, my wife is not going to be happy because she wanted to marry a man. She didn't want to marry a woman. So she's not going to be very happy with me. She might not be able to put a finger on it. I'm a nice guy. I help out around the home. I'm lovely. I'm really kind. I listen to her and do everything. But there's something missing in this relationship. It's not, there's something, we can't put your finger on it. Could be that the man's not acting like a man. Rav Arush says, in that case, when a man's not acting like a man, he can't put into practice the things we're learning. Things we're learning not to criticize and to put your wife in first place. Those things require that you're acting like a man. Because if you're not acting like a man, you are going to criticize. You're going to say, why is this cold? Why is it not cooked? Why is it burned? Why aren't my clothes clean? I'm going to have complaints, right? Because I'm going to feel needy. What about me? I'm going to make complaints about my wife. You're not treating me very nicely. Why aren't I also getting attention, right? If I'm needy like a woman, then that's going to turn into criticism. So I am going to criticize. So, but if I don't have needs, if I'm not needy in that way, then I have no reason to criticize. It's going to be easier for me. It's going to be easy for me to keep that law of never criticizing. So I've got nothing to complain about. Similarly, too, in first place, putting my wife in first place means putting her above myself, putting her in first place. If I'm needy, I have a need. I need to just go out and get some air. I just need to go and whatever. I just need to spend time on my computer. Just me and my iPod. I just need, whatever need I have, I just need to go get a burger. I just need to, right? And my wife no longer becomes in first place. And whatever that need is that I just have right now, I just need to read this book. Just calms me down. I just need to read. Just leave me alone to read, right? That's being a woman. So I'm not putting her in first place.
What if you feel like you need to be around your wife all the time? Can that be a need also?
Yeah, that's also a need. That's a negative need, right? It's very good to feel very close to your wife. Mamash, it's a big kindness. But the need that would be negative it's called dependence or codependence. I just need, right? And it's really a comfort blanket. I'm using my wife as a comfort blanket, a surrogate mother. I left my mother's home. And now my wife is expected to take that place of looking after me. To some extent, it might not be so obvious, but that can be what's happening under the surface.
Also, make that person happy, those are good things.
To what?
If you want to make that person happy.
Which person making which? The husband,
wife.
The wife.
Husband wants to make the wife. Gear out.
To make her happy, you'll see that's fine.
Okay.
But the husband needs to be clear why he's doing it.
He can
pretend to himself, okay, I'm doing this for her, but really, he's not. And husbands, we make that mistake, right? When we give, I pretend to myself that I'm giving for her sake. I'm giving this lishma altruistically, but really I've got one eye on what I want. I'm keeping you sweet. I'm buttering you up. Right? These are easy traps to fall into, and every husband in the world is falling into it daily. Right? It's just a question of how much we're working on ourselves and how much we're going to try to not fall. Right? To be the perfect 100% everything every day, it's not going to happen. We're not there yet. But to know where we need to aim towards and to be able to watch out for the pitfalls is very good. And the more I want, the more I've got an active desire to fix this, the more Hashem's going to show me. Right? Because right now I'm falling and I'm stumbling and I'm doing things which are really selfish. I don't see it. It's just not on my radar. Right? Hashem's not showing it to me that I actually act very selfish towards my wife. Why not? Because I'm not there yet. I'm not ready. I'm not ready to accept it. I'm not ready to accept that I'm actually very selfish. I'm doing all these selfish things. I can't take that yet. So Hashem is being very kind to me. When I'm ready, and I genuinely want to drop that, and I genuinely want to start to be a truthful, honest person who treats my wife how she should be treated, and I pray on it, Hashem will start opening my eyes, and I'll start to realize, oh gosh, the reason I'm doing this now is because I'm doing it for my own selfish needs. And he'll show me, he'll open my eyes, and I'll realize things that I never knew. Right? For the last 20 years, I've been acting in a certain way. And all the time, it was just for my own good. That's what happens, that's what we do. So, the essence here is being the man. The essence is, in simple words, to give and not to take. But within those that simple phrase, there's a lot that hides a lot of things. There's a lot going on within that. Rav Arush writes on page 101 in the Hebrew version, Mishalom evin shehu tzarich liot zachar. A person who does not understand that he needs to be a man, it's impossible for him to fulfill even the most simple pieces of advice. Because everyone should understand that these are relevant to a man. Kagon, for example, le'ahav, to love. To love is only relevant if you're a man. What's to love mean? To love means, and this is what we get wrong, you ask any husband, I love my wife. Yeah, I love my wife. But they don't love their wife at all because they've got the wrong definition. What does love mean in the colloquial definition? In the general definition of the man in the street, let's call it the secular definition, just to give it a name. The secular definition of love is to love like I love chocolate ice cream. I love her. I love her. Yeah, and you also love chocolate ice cream, and you love donuts, and that's you love your wife too. That's the way you love her, right? That's not the right, and that's what people generally mean. They love. I love who she is what I get out of it, is what I love. What's love mean? Love means in Hebrew from the word havah, from the word have, to give. Right? Love means to give. You can't love unless you're giving. That's what it means to love in properly. Yes?
Practically, what do you mean by giving? Providing? What practically means?
Practically, it's whatever the person needs, right? To love a person is to know what that person needs. And, if you buy your wife flowers because you know she needs flowers, that's loving her. But if you buy her flowers when she doesn't really need flowers, she actually just needs you to listen to her, and you're buying her flowers to get out of paying attention, listen, then you don't love your wife. Right? So you can't, give a... So the practical example is to give what she needs when she needs it, and not what she doesn't need.
Right.
When she doesn't need it. Or, right? You can buy her, a woman diamond earrings,
right.
But she doesn't like diamond earrings, then.
She
She's like, I don't want that. Right? Well, what's that? that's not going to help me, right? If you're not, I'd rather that you just helped out around the house and don't give me the big stones to try and buy me off, right? So, and vice versa, right? Some women do want the diamond earrings, but I'm not buying you diamond earrings. So a person needs to know what they need to give. To love is to give what she needs, to give time, to give space. To not, you know, if I know that I'm getting on my wife's nerves at the moment, to give her space. Yeah, so obviously that's giving, that's right. So to give, to love, to really love you, which is to give, I need to be a man. You know, a man means to give, not that way. I want to give and not take.
Is it appropriate for men to ask what the wife wants, or should the man just feel and know, kind of?
Yeah, both. Sometimes it's always good to know what your wife wants, to ask her, to have a conversation. But sometimes you can't really. Sometimes they're just for doing and not for asking. Right? Sometimes you just need to jump in there and like go for it. And like, she just wants to see you actually doing something spontaneously without asking for a change. Right? But so even the simplest pieces of advice require a person to be a male, to be a giver. To love requires that I give. Right? I can love chocolate ice cream very much without giving anything. I'm just taking. And people can love their wife in that fashion. In fact, most people do. Most people are very selfish without realizing it. And they don't realize it. It's not on their radar. But you tell them that, well, you love your wife like you love, oh, no. But actually, deep down, if they actually did some hit buttered on it, they would see, yep, you're 100% right. And that's something that a person, we all need to work on. It's part of his body, it's part of asking Hashem to change that. Hashem, I admit, I'm very selfish. I like what my wife does for me. I like the way she looks. I like the way she talks. I like the physical comfort she gives me. I like the fact that she's there. It's all great for me. It's all about what, but I'm actually, what am I giving her? Oh, yeah, and I also give. Yeah, oh, but it's not the ikka. I'm missing, my focus is on the wrong thing. But that's our natural, if you like, Yetzer Hara, that we have to struggle against and break that and say, no, that's not the right attitude. I actually have to break that and not be concerned about myself. And to break through that. That's not easy, but it's something that we can do and something that we need to work on. Okay, so that's the first thing. L'chabed, to give honor. L'sameach, to make happy. L'tet, to give, etc. She'en eitzot shel netina. These are all advices about giving. She'kol echad mevin shehem she'echol la'zachar. And everyone should understand that these are only applicable to the male, to the giver. V'zeh mishum she'en lo b'chlal et ha'inyan shel netina. And for a person who is not interested at all in giving and only expects to receive, then he can't fulfill any of that. Right? That's why we see that. The real marriage is hard work. Real marriage means to give. It's hard work in terms of to give and give and give. Like for a husband to give and give and give. We have to go against our nature. Our nature is to put your feet up, sit on the couch, have a beer or whatever it is, a Coke or whatever, coffee, whatever everyone's favourite. Right? And to take rest, to take food, to look after myself. Right? It's not a natural instinct to give up on all that. And when I've come back home from a hard day at the office or hard day learning or whatever, I'm tired, I was up very early this morning for nets or whatever, and I get home and I'm tired, I can't just flop on the couch. I've actually got to now, my day isn't over, my day is just beginning, right?
Probably get more energy that way. If you actually get more
if I've got the desire to do it, Hashem will give me the wherewithal. Had a friend from school who I only heard about secondhand. After school, he got married many years ago. I'm married now, 17, 18 years. it was about 15 years ago when he got married, someone told me that he got divorced like about 6 months later. And I lost touch with him totally. So I was just knew he was a friend from school. So I said, what happened? And he said, apparently he just used to come home from work, sit on the couch and put the soccer on the TV, watch soccer on TV, and his wife just got fed up and divorced him after like 6 months of him doing this. Because that's what he was used to doing before the marriage. He would come home, put on the TV to relax, right? After a hard day. And he tried that in his marriage. His wife divorced him after 6 months, right? Because you need to come home, you need to start giving. Even though my natural, you know, given a choice, it would be, I'll just sit and watch TV for a bit, you bring me a cup of tea, and look, it's the wrong way around. But we have to fight against that, that can happen. And we need to emphasize again, Shaisha Zetiva Shehi Rakwat Sadakabel, that the woman, the wife, her nature is only to receive. When it says it's only her nature to receive, Shehi Rakwat, she does give as well. But when she gives, she's giving out of her effort, her love, her kindness. Right? Her nature that's inbuilt with her is just to receive. Right? That's her natural state. And it's impossible, it's not possible to change her nature. Ella in ken navi etachan me'at sadikim. If one of the, if we were going to bring one of the sadikim, Shehuba Hadra Gat Moshe Rabbeinu, who's on the level of Moshe Rabbeinu, Sheyachol Lishanot Et HaTeva, who would be able to change nature, V'yigzor Shehi Tiezaha, and he would make a decree that she should act like a man, Shelo Tekabel Klum, that she should not receive, that she would not ask for anything, Shelo Tzapeh Leklum, that she would not expect anything, Shelo Titlonen Al Habala, she would never complain to her husband, Shelo Tidrosh Klum, that she would never seek anything, Shelo Tye Zukuka Leshum Yachas, that she wouldn't be needy of anything, Shelo Tchakeh Leshum Ahava, that she wouldn't be waiting, expecting any love, Velo Lasum Mila Shel Kavod, and not be expecting any words of Kavod, of respect, Velo Lasum Mila Tova, no good words, Bekitzor Shetishtet Tanet Et HaTeva Shela, in short, that she should change her nature. Uminastam Higam Lo Tavi Lo Yiladim, then Minastam, she actually wouldn't be able to bring forward children. Aval Kol Shelman She Ein Shinu HaTeva, Aval What Says She Taught to Shea Yisha, Hu Chayav Latzchil Liot Gever. So what's he saying here? He's saying, you can't change a woman's nature. And if you want to say, let's bring a Navi, a prophet, on the level of Moshe Rabbeinu, who can do miracles and wonders, and he can decree on your wife that she stops acting like a female, right, and starts acting like a male, meaning that she doesn't need all that stuff. You know what's going to happen, Rabbi says? She wouldn't be able to have kids. She would stop being a physical woman. Because so long as she's a woman, that is going to be her nature. It's tied, it's part and parcel. You can't get around it. You can't expect this woman to be different. And even if your wife is the Rebbetzin of the daughter of the generation, right? She's still going to be needy. Rav Arash's wife is still needy. She still needs stuff. She still complains to her husband. She still requires stuff. She still requires compliments all the time, right? And she gets from Rav Arash 2 million watts of the biggest smile, the biggest compliments, the biggest love you can ever imagine, 24/7, right? But her nature is still going to only be to receive, because she is the moon. And when she's not receiving that 2 million watts of light. She's like, no, as well, what's with you today? Shalom. Thank you, Kord. Rav Shalom. Right? Only 1.8 million watts instead of 2 million watts. I mean, you have a problem? What's going on? She's going to feel the difference. And she's going to say, no, something's missing. Because she's going to feel what's missing. She's going to be very sensitive because she's on a high level. Our wives, Baruch Hashem, are not going to be so sensitive because we're only shining maybe 45 watts or whatever. And so she doesn't notice when we drop down to 40, 45, it's all the same. Right? You're still doing well. Right? But when you are finely tuned, and your wife, as you will be finely tuned, she'll be like, what's with you today? You didn't say good morning to me. Right? That's it, the whole day. Everything's perfect. I didn't say good morning. Yeah, because now my wife is like so in tune that she's missing something. Or you're distracted. You come home from davening, and normally you come home from davening and you say, hey, what do you sit down? Today you came home from davening and you're a bit, something on your mind. You're thinking about a bill, or you're thinking about, I know, something that happened. Someone in davening disturbed your tefillah and you couldn't pray, or whatever. You got upset with someone or whatever, and you came back home. And what's going on? Now that you're still the same lovely husband, but you're not with her 100%. You're not giving her attention. You're somewhere else. Your mind's adrift. She's going to call you on it. You're not giving me the attention today. You're not looking after me. You're ignoring me. What's going on? Right, because she's now finely tuned and sensitive. She expects that. And that's because Hashem expects it. Hashem is testing me. Hashem is now saying, I expect you that you're now on a level that even though you got distracted because someone was rude to you in shul, that you should still come home and put that out of your mind and actually focus on your wife. That's what I want from you right now. And if you don't do that, I'm going to make sure your wife calls you on it and says, what's going on? But when a person, at this stage, it's not going to happen. On, you get the honeymoon period at the beginning where you can't do anything wrong. Baruch Hashem, it should last a long time. Tough. When you're ready, you get tested more and more, like a fine tooth comb. Right, the more a person works on a midah, the more they see. Right, it's like the midah of working on an eye, Shmirat Anayim. Right. People, when they initially start working on Shmirat Anayim, or people who particularly don't work on it at all, they think it's very easy. Oh, what's the big deal? I don't look. We don't know nothing. We don't know how strong the ta'ava is, how powerful the desire, and how powerful the yetzahara is, until a person starts to work on it. Only then he gets through the layers and layers and layers and becomes very sensitive. Very, very sensitive. Right? The chilonim are very anti all the strictures that people put in place, or the frum community puts in place, separate this, separate seating, separate whatever, separate this, separate that. And people who are very distant say, well, what's your problem? Right, mixed dancing. What's your problem? It's not like you're going to do anything with her. You're just going to dance with her. You're not even touching her. You're just standing next to her. What's the difference? What's the difference that you're sitting there? Right? Because for them, there's no difference there. There's no sensitivity. It's nothing. Doesn't mean anything. So they can't understand it. But once a person actually starts working on that, then their sensitivity button gets finely tuned. And a person picks up on the slightest, right? Slightest whiff of a perfume can send a person into crazy land, right? And that because he's a tzaddik. Whereas a person who is an Am Haaretz, who's not worked on himself at all, he can sit there in front of the most despicable movie of stuff going on, and it doesn't do anything for him, doesn't arouse him, doesn't do nothing for him, doesn't do anything for me. What's the point? This is shtiyot, this is nonsense. There's no sensitivity, I'm dead. Completely dead. So it doesn't do anything for me. Only once I start to clear that out does the sensitivity come back. And then it starts being meaningful. That's why I need to have separate this and separate that. because you put a woman in front of me and I'm, right? Who knows what can happen, right? Rava says in the Gemara, Rava says, one of the holy sages of Tanayim says, he saw a man and a woman walking together through the woods, and he followed them. Holy Tana, Rava. And he said they didn't do anything. Kilu, they were two single people. And he said, they didn't do anything. And he was shocked. He said, if it was me, I wouldn't have been able to stop myself. The Holy Tana said that. And these two random people were able to stop themselves. Why? Because there's no sensitivity, there's no reality. There's no feeling for what that means. Rava says he wouldn't be able to stop himself in that situation, just walking with a lady. He wouldn't be able to stop himself. We don't understand that. Because we're not it's hard to put into words, but whatever you get, you get.
If people knew that there was a blessing that comes along with that, the calling of the malacha, and that creates such a little body, and maybe they'd be more encouraged to listen to it. It's like a natural blessing that Hashem puts with each person in their home.
Right, for sure, for sure. Look, every effort we make in Avodat Hashem requires that we give something up, right? You don't get anything for free. You have to give something up. But what you get back is, I'm exaggerating, but a million times more than you give up. It's a lot times more than you give up, but you don't know that. Our job, the faith, is giving it up and seeing what comes back. Right, seeing what comes back, for example, we're singing with Shemir Tanayim, but seeing what comes back from Shemir Tanayim is huge. Right, seeing what comes back when a person gives up their Saturday to start having Shabbat and keeping Shabbat, you get wonders, not initially, because it's a test. First time you keep Shabbat, it's the most boring thing in the world. And why am I doing this? This is a complete waste of time. I could be doing something useful. Right? But eventually, I'm never going to get crazy. Just look at those people now. Right, look at me and look at them, and I can see the one who's losing. They think that where it's at is shopping, and I know where it's at is Shabbos. Right? And the same with all the things that we need to do and work on. If I give up, if I want to daven with Kavanah, what does that mean? I need to give up whatever else is going on in my head. I need to stop thinking about what I want to be thinking about right now. I need to give that up. If I give that up and I instead focus and put all my concentration onto Hashem, I'm a different person. I just connected with Ribono Shel Olam, and it's amazing, it's beautiful, it's wonderful. But I have to put effort into that. I have to give up. Same with learning. If I really want to connect to the learning, I've got to really focus on it to the exclusion of everything else. I've got to give up on sitting back and relaxing and taking it easy and looking around the room and thinking about my day. And I've got to give up on all those things. I don't want to give them up. It's only when I give things up that I really receive how much I'm going to receive. And same thing with all the Shalom Bayit. Putting my life in first place means giving up on myself. Never criticizing, again, means giving up on the things that I want. I only criticize because I want something. I have to give up on what I want. So I'm not allowed to tell you. Yeah, but I want it. Yeah, I have to give that up. I don't like this. I have to give that up too. The fact that I don't like the fact my wife leaves her socks on the bedroom floor, for example. The fact that I don't like it, I've got to give up on that. To gain something much higher. That's faith, that's emunah. Why would I ever give up on anything? Who would give up anything in this world? If I believe that there's only this world, right, then I shouldn't give up anything. Logic tells me I shouldn't give up on anything. I shouldn't give anything away. If there's only this world, then I may as well enjoy and get everything I can out, squeeze every drop out of whatever I can squeeze. But why not? So it's only emunah, it's only faith that there is something more there. I have to believe that giving up my Saturday is going to be worth it. I have to believe that giving up on what I want to do for the sake of my wife is going to be worth it. I don't know it's going to be that. No one's telling me. I've got no proof. I have to give up and close my eyes and jump in and see what happens. right? Who says getting married is going to be worth it? Maybe it's going to be terrible, right? People are very worried about doing that. I don't do that either. Give up on my own free time, give up on my, I can do whatever I like, whenever I like, how I like, who I like, whether I like. That's giving up. I have to give up to get married. But boy, when you do that, you see that every person who got married and is actually working on his marriage and is happily married to some extent, every single man to a man says, I should have done it earlier. What did I just waste all that time for? What was I doing? It was a complete waste of life. Everything before I got married, from the time that I could have got married to, like, a complete waste of life. Just, what was I doing? It was a waste. But I only know that afterwards.
But in a secular society, as you were saying, the majority are either not married.
Right, because.
Or divorced.
Right, because why? Because I don't want to give up. I'm not prepared to give up in order to see what I'm going to gain. I want. I'm going to hold on to it. I'm not giving anything. I'm not budging. I don't have to. I have no reason to. I can do what I like. And it's true. Hashem says, I place before you two options and you can choose. And both of them look good. And in fact, the wrong one always looks better. Right? Otherwise, no one would choose it. The beer always looks good. The woman in the skimpy clothing always looks good. Has to.
Not always.
Yoffi, not always. Tough. If you drank enough beer, she does. Right? The Yetzer Hara has a lot more tricks and a lot more fun stuff going for it than the good choice. Good choice doesn't look so much fun. Who says opening this book with all big words and I can't understand the comment? It doesn't look so good to me.
But essentially speaking,
because otherwise I'm not going to gain if I don't give up.
When you have a 55-65% divorce rate.
Yeah, but people don't connect the two. People don't connect that. They don't connect it. Why? Because I don't want it. It's a me generation. I have to give up on the me. The I generation. The iPad, iPhone, iPod. The I generation, right? The me. I have to give up on that. See, why? I give up on myself for Hashem, effectively for the world. I have to give that away. Yeah.
Sounds like what you're saying, though, is that all these, the fulfillment that people are looking for in the eye and whatever, they actually going to find.
People only find fulfillment by giving. Right. Right? It's one of those paradoxical axioms that the world is based on.
Right.
You only receive when you give.
Right?
Right? And people don't want to make that cheshbon. They don't want to make that argument, that calculation.
Right?
And people
want,
and everyone else is trying to take, and when they're really taking, they're not getting anything. They're not getting it. You're getting something temporary. It's not real. It's damaging. But if you want real, you have to give.
An expansion of that is something which we need to mention.
Yeah.
Addiction.
Uh-huh.
A taker is addicted.
Yeah.
Whether it is alcohol, drugs, hard drugs, sex, porn, you name it.
Coffee.
No, I'm talking about 12-step program.
But the reason why they're addicted is because once a person starts taking, they realize that it didn't fulfill them until you take again. Right? It's a conditional. It's reflective. I don't feel fulfilled. If it fulfilled me, if it did its job, I wouldn't need to go back and get some more.
And it not only damages the taker, it damages the spouse, in which they're codependent, and also the children.
But to give fulfills the person. No one's addicted to giving unless they're actually taking. Anyone who's addicted to giving is because they're really taking. Right? A person can be addicted to being a serial giver. I just have to go around giving.
That's,
if they're addicted, that's called taking. It's called doing
codependency,
right,
it's very serious.
It's doing it because I really want to. I want the honor. I want the cover. I want people to look at me. Top. When a person gives, the benefit I get is something that's eternal. It's within me. It's there. It's forever. I'm not attached to the giving. But the giving is irrelevant. I don't feel have no attachment to it. Even. Right? If I give a shield, and it's a good shield, and I'm not messing around, right? And I gave, I have no attachment to that shield. Like, that was a great shield. Oh, that shield was. But I had such a life from giving it. That's just like part of me. The actual thing itself is irrelevant. In a good way. In a good way, because the act is the giving.
So you're saying when you give a really good shear, there's no, you don't feel anything, there's no positive, you don't feel like...
Not to the shear. Not to the shear. If I give it, like, I come out on a high. I come out feeling like I've sat in a great show. Right? When it's good and it's coming out, I'm enjoying this year. I'm like, that was good. And it's not, it's key, like, I didn't get it. I was just like there in the show, and I was like, shh, that was a great show. Not connected to, like, to any feelings of, it's connected to feelings of, then it's all negative. Like, it's like, I can't believe I just get the most dumb show in the world. And I feel rotten. Yeah, that's all just negative. Yes, our shio. When it's good, it's good, and it's, there's no. There are times when I've got arrogance, and then I've fallen. Yeah, but if I come out thinking I did something really good, then it doesn't last, and it's not real, and I usually feel bad afterwards. Right? It's like a temporary sugar high that you feel, you come down off with a bump. But it's not. But it's because it's not real. It's not coming from a good place.
But we really can't tell until we're.
No, we can tell. We can tell. That's what Hippodot is about. And even without Hippodot, a person knows if he's on a, like, feeling high or feeling low. And it's just a question: why am I feeling so bad? What's with me today? What's going on? I just need to ask the question and analyze and see where it came from. Shem is just giving me the messages. I should actually be feeling really good. Why do I not feel good? Oh, you know what? I was arrogant. Yeah, I was full of myself, and actually, oh, you're totally right. Right? And I need to think about it. To work on it. Pray to Hashem. Same thing too at home, so with my wife, with anyone else. Right? If how do you know that something's going right? The Bible says it's very simple. If you're happy, if you're genuinely happy, then you know you're on the right path, you're on the right track. And if you're not happy, you need to analyze and see what's going wrong here. What about my life is wrong? What needs to change? So it doesn't matter if you're learning Kollel 14 hours a day, but you're not happy, something needs to change. It's not right for you. And if you're working in a factory or sweeping the streets and you're abundantly happy and you're singing all the way home, then stay where you are. That's good for you and Hashem. Right? Happiness is a simple... indicator, like genuine happiness, not like happiness from something that's external that makes me happy, but just genuine. And if not, if I haven't got that, I need to sit down in my body to speak to Hashem. Why? What's the thing that's missing here? What's not right? I'm learning too much. I'm not learning enough. I've got too many friends. I've got no friends. I need a wife. I don't need a wife. I don't. Whatever it. I need to find out what's that thing that's missing at the moment, that's causing me not to be happy. It doesn't have to be the situation, but if I'm not happy from the situation, I come away from whatever it was I was doing and I wasn't happy. And, you know, I have a chavruta. I come away from that chavruta, I'm not happy. So it's good. I need to see what's wrong with it. Is it this topic we're learning? Is it the guy, I just don't get on with him? Is it because it's just too much at this point? What about it? I need to find out what it is. Everything might be good, maybe just me. I come away from that chavruta feeling rotten because I sit there telling him my opinions for an hour, right? And I come away just not happy, right? Because I'm being an arrogant fool, right? Or the other way around. I sit there and I don't say anything. And I just have to listen to him. And it just makes me feel really small. Right, so maybe I actually need to start asking questions. I need to start, right? Hashem is telling me, and the fact that I'm not happy, that I need to change something. And I just need to look into it, investigate what is it that needs to change here. Same in any area. Hashem's rules are very simple, and they're for everyone. They're not for wise people with PhDs. They're for everyone, whether they're learned or they're unlearned. The rules are very simple. We can all know what he wants from us. We can all find out everything we need to know just from being acting in a simple way. A simple way, being straight, being honest, believing that Hashem is good, that he wants the best from us, that he's trying to tell us, he's trying to help us, he's trying to guide us. We just need to ask. It's all very simple. You don't need big, difficult explanations in order to live how Hashem wants us to live. There is also, additionally, the person can find different, deeper, very intellectual, very, that also exists, but it's not, doesn't have to be that way. In fact, simple living, just being very simple, is also, right? And Nachman says the best thing is just to be simple. Just to be simple. Roughly, and count. Mincha.